Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John begins a series entitled, The Life of Jesus. It would have been easy for the Son of God to come to the earth and do everything in the supernatural, but the devil would have also objected. As a result, the Son of God was incarnated into a human body with sinless blood in his veins. Jesus walked away from carpentry at the age of 30 to begin his earthly ministry. The scribes thought he was possessed by Satan, and his family believed he was mentally deranged. Yet he pushed on and was baptized in water by his cousin, and God signified the act by speaking from heaven, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. Jesus went from this spiritual high point to enduring 40 horrible days of fasting in the wilderness while the devil tempted and harassed him every day. Then, when he returned to his hometown of Nazareth, the people tried to kill him when he declared he was the Messiah. This message is entitled, Jesus Launches His Ministry. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And I'm glad you're with us here today. I'm starting a new series, The Life of Jesus. I've been in the ministry for about 53 years, and I've preached on a number of different things in the Bible. But I never focused on the life of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit laid upon my heart last week to change and to focus on this message. We're going to have probably 5 or 10 or 15 videos, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. And it's exciting to me because Jesus is the centerpiece in our faith. Before I pray, let me just say this to you that are watching on YouTube and those of you that are watching live today. We have a financial need in the ministry. For a long time, I haven't had to say anything. But the last few weeks, our donation income has dwindled. We live totally on donations. And we are a little bit cramped right now financially. If you have not given anything in the month of May 2019, would you consider today to send a gift via PayPal? Or if you don't want to use PayPal, write a check, put it in the mail, so we have it this week. It'd be greatly appreciated. Thank you. Let me pray right now. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now for helping me, Lord, to preach this message, to bring out Jesus. So that Father God, people understand the man as God and as man, and how he suffered on this earth as he was here for 33 and a half years. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Scripture-wise, we're going to turn to the Gospel of Luke. That's the Gospel of Luke. And we're going to flip it here quite a bit today. So we're going to go to chapter 3 and verse number 23. What I want to bring out is this. Jesus, God, came down to earth. Mary had been impregnated by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave sinless blood. Mary gave flesh and bones, and she gave birth to a human body. And Jesus, at the moment of conception by the Holy Spirit, attached himself to that body and stayed with that body for 33 and a half years. In order for him to qualify as the sacrifice to pay for the sins of mankind, He had to limit himself, his power. He had to allow himself to live as a man. He had to stay in the womb for 9 months, experience that. He had to be a baby. He had to experience the toddler years. He had to experience childhood, a teenager, a young man. He had to go through all these different emotions and stages of mankind to qualify that the devil could not say, the deck is stacked against me. At the age of 12, he knew who he was. He was in a child's body, but Jesus inside knew, you know, I'm Jesus, I'm God. He knew who he was. And he went to the temple for 3 days and talked to the doctors there, the teachers and the priests. And they were astonished because of the questions and the knowledge he had. But of course, he's a creator. He's the one that created everything. He set it all up. He's the one that talked to Moses. He's the one that gave the law to Moses. So of course he could talk to them. And they were amazed. This child, 12 years old, where's the wisdom come from? They did not know that inside that body was God, Jesus himself. And remember what Jesus said. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. So I want you to have in your mind that we had, that Jesus on earth, we had Jesus the man, and Jesus, God, he was simply clothed in a human body. He could feel all the emotions, all the pains, everything that you and I experience, he experienced. In Luke 3:23, Jesus now began his ministry. And he says this, and Jesus himself began to about 30 years of age, being as was supposed the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. The legal age at the time that Jesus was here was 30 years of age. I remember when I was growing up, legal age was 21. Then it was changed to 18. And now the Democrats want to change it to 16. To get more votes of uninformed people that don't know what they're doing. Now Joseph, his stepfather, and his legal father, was a carpenter by trade. And so we notice that Jesus must have worked at least for some 12 to 13 years with Joseph, as he was building houses, if he had a carpenter shop, whatever he did. So Jesus, the man, was an accomplished carpenter. Now if you turn to Matthew, because we're going to have to find tidbits here and there from the Bible, it is not one chapter where it tells everything in one setting. If you turn to Matthew chapter 13, and we pick it up from verse number 53. We read this. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in a synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence, oh, from where has this man his wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? His brethren, James and Joseph, and Simon and Judas, and his sisters, are not all with us? Whence hath this man all the things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country, in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there, because of their unbelief. Now, at the age of 30, the assumption is that Joseph was dead, because after the year when Jesus was 12 years old, we never again hear about Joseph in the Bible, in the New Testament. And so, Jesus now had been the oldest son. He was a breadwinner for Mary and the rest of his family. We're going to turn now to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3. The Gospel of Mark, and the third chapter. And we're going to turn to verses 19. Now, if you can imagine this now, Jesus going into his mother one day saying this, "Mom, I'm now going to start my ministry as the Messiah. Mom, you know what happened in the temple. You know my miraculous birth." And I'm sure his brothers said, "What?" And Jesus said, "Okay, now, I'm sorry. I'm leaving the shop. I'm leaving all the tools, everything here. I will not come back here again. I'm going to go out and start preaching the kingdom of God." That was a shock. And if we look in Mark chapter 3, we can see here verse number 21. "And when his friends heard it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, 'He is beside himself. He's mentally sick. He lost his marbles.'" Jesus' friends went out and said, "Hey, Jesus, come back here." Because they knew that two men before him, Jesus, had proclaimed to be the Messiah. And they had been executed. They liked Jesus. And they said, "Jesus, don't be stupid, man. You're not the Messiah. Come back here, work in the shop, be normal." That's what a lot of people tell people when they get saved. The unbeliever says, "Be normal. Don't get be a fanatic." I remember when I rode home. I was living here. My parents lived in Sweden. And I rode home and said, "Mom, Dad, I got saved. I got a letter back saying, 'Be normal. Don't go overboard. Be like the rest of them. You go to church, but don't do anything.'" When I wrote back a few years later and said, "I'm called into the ministry," I got a letter back saying, "Don't even bother to come home again. We disown you. We put you through college. We put all this effort into you. And now you're throwing that away? Going into the ministry? Forget it." Well, God worked on them a few years later. They became our staunchest supporters. But Jesus here now had difficulties. And we go down to verse number 30. Now, I want to read from verse number 22. "And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, 'He has Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devil cast he out devils.'" Those top leadership came down and said, "Jesus, he's possessed by the devil. He's using the power of the devil to cast out demons. His friends said he's insane." Verse number 30. "Because they said he has an unclean spirit. There came then his brother and his mother, standing without, sent unto him, calling him." Notice now, Joseph was not here. But we had Mary, not the sisters now. Mary and his brothers, standing outside and saying, "We want to talk to Jesus." Why? Because they want to take him home and say, "Jesus, calm down. Slow down. You don't want to get killed like these other guys did. You're not the Messiah. You're his brother. Go back in the shop. Make money. Get married. Have children. Be normal." And the multitude said about him, and they said unto him, Behold, your mother and your brethren without seek you. And he answered them, saying, Who is my mother or my brethren? And he looked around about on them which sat about him, and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother. I want you to understand that it was not easy for Jesus to start up his ministry. It was hard when your own mother, brothers and sisters, your friends, turn on you and say, Forget it, Jesus. He had to walk away from his family. That's hard. Many times when you got saved, you're the only one in the family. And you have to make a choice between Jesus or your family. It's hard. But it's worthwhile to stay with Jesus. Let's turn to the book of Acts, chapter 5. The book of Acts, chapter 5. And we learned here about these two other men. They got executed. Book of Acts, chapter 5, verse number 34. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had a reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And he said unto them, Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourself that you intend to do as touching these men. He was talking about Peter and Jonah. For before these days rose up Thoas, boasting himself to be somebody, to a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who were slain, and all those men who obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him, he also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. You understand the setting there. At the time when Jesus now proclaimed himself to be the Messiah, they had seen Judas from Galilee, Thoas, each one proclaimed to be the Messiah, getting people, get a following, and then executed by the Romans and killed. I mean, that was common knowledge among people in Israel at that time. And they knew that. And now Jesus stuck his head up and said, I'm the Messiah. And said, oh no, we don't want you to get killed. That's what Jesus had to fight. Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke right now. Chapter 1. The Gospel of Luke. Chapter 1. We pick it up in verse number 35. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto according to your word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose those days and went to the hill country with haste at the city of Judah. I'm reading that to show you that Zacharias and Elizabeth lived in Judah, in the south. And also, if we look here in verse number 26, we find out this. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin exposed to a man whose name was Joseph, and to the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And we read then, go down here in verse number 36. And behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she's also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. So we had Mary now, in Galilee, Nazareth, having Jesus live, they grew up there. Elizabeth, her cousin, lived in southern Judah, and they raised their child. They became John the Baptist. In Matthew chapter 3, we're going to read about John the Baptist. So John the Baptist had established himself as a prophetic voice. And we read here from verse number 13 and down. Jesus knew this. Jesus, God, inside. Not the physical body, but Jesus. And by the way, let me settle something with you. You're not watching me right now, either in the chapel or on the web. Your physical brain is a computer. Your physical brain has no emotions. It has no intelligence. It is a computer loaded with a bunch of programs. When your body dies, where does your brain go? In the grave. Or they incinerate that if you're cremated. If your brain was you, you would cease to exist the moment your body died. But inside me is the real John Terrell. I have a soul body. I have a soul brain. My soul has legs, arms, head, eyes, ears, mouth. My physical body is a replica of my soul body. I also have a spirit that I can communicate with God. If you read in the book of Revelation, when people have died, it said their souls were in heaven. They were walking around, holding palms in their hands, praising God, having memories. The soul body is the real you. That's what's going to go to heaven. After when we come back with Jesus, we're going to get our resurrected bodies to be added. So we have that through the thousand-year kingdom and for eternity. So Jesus now, sitting inside his body, he had to work through his computer, just like we have, because I cannot take my soul out and say, hey, you guys, step out of your bodies, let's get over here and have a soul meeting. We're not allowed to be in the spirit world. We have to work through the physical body to be in the physical world. Now, let's look upon this now. So Jesus simply said this. This is what I'm going to do, because this is foreordained. I closed the shop in Nazareth. He walked down to southern Judah, found John the Baptist, and simply went up to him and said, John, I need to be baptized. Let's read the text. Then came Jesus from Galilee to Jordan with John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of you, and you come to me. Now John the Baptist had been told by his mother that my cousin Mary, she got a baby. That's the Messiah. He knew that. Here comes Jesus now. And John said, you are God. I'm not. And Jesus answers unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becomes to us to fulfill all righteousness. He said, John, we need to fulfill all righteousness. John said, okay. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened to him. He saw the Spirit of God descend like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What happened now after Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit? Notice now, Jesus came up out of the waters. The Holy Spirit came down and empowered him. And you would think, that, you know, everything nice would happen. But let's read in chapter 4 now, verse number 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Immediately, the Holy Spirit said, we're going to take you now into the wilderness. 40 days of fasting and praying. Let's turn to Luke chapter 4 now. Luke chapter 4. If you pick it up in verse number 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. When you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, there is a light shining over you and around you and in you. And that is seen in the spirit world. That is seen by all the evil spirits, the fallen angels, and Satan himself. So to be baptized in the Holy Spirit is not to enter into a time of recreation and joy. If you've never been visited by evil spirit before, this is the time when they will show up and say, oh no, oh no, this guy got sapped by the Spirit. We got to nail him. And I want you to see the next verse. Being 40 days tempted of the devil. For 40 days, every day, Jesus was tempted, harassed. And you and I as Christians know this, that to be a Christian is not a cakewalk. There is suffering. There is resistance from other people. There's all kind of different things. You lose your job. There's divorce. There's sickness. There's all kind of things thrown at us. And this is part of the territory. This is what happened to Jesus. This is what happened to us. But we can be victorious. A pastor that stands in the congregation and says, come to Jesus and you'll be saved and you will have a nice life after that. That's not true. That's a disservice. We need to tell people, when you come to Christ, yes, you're born again. You're going to be in heaven. You're going to have some good times here. But look, Slewfoot is going to show up. He's going to give you a bad time from time to time. There is suffering in the Christian life. And in those days, he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, it was afterward hungered. Could Jesus, God, be tempted? If you really think about this, Jesus now was at his weakest point. His body had been weakened by 40 days and nights fasting in the wilderness. No food. He was in a very weakened condition. Living in that body conveyed the fatigue to Jesus. If you've ever been up for more than 30 hours, you know that you're not too intelligent. And you don't make too many good decisions. Sleep deprivation. If you've been out of food a long time, you know, you're dragging. You really can't think. If you really are hungry, you haven't had food and water for a long time, you're not going to be at your best. And that's exactly how the devil had said, I need to have him weakened in order to have a real temptation. And the devil said to him, if you be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. There was standing there saying, see this stone? You can make bread out of that. Jesus was hungry. But he answered. He didn't say, now, my words. How do you rebuke the devil? You quote scripture. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Don't just resist the devil. Quote the word. When you get tempted by a woman, simply say this. I'm not going to commit fornication. I'm not going to sin. I'm not going to commit adultery. And the devil takes him into a high mountain, showed him all the kings of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this power will I give you, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If you therefore will worship me, all this will be yours. At that time, Jesus on that mountain saw in the future. He saw him being arrested by the soldiers of the high priest. He saw himself standing in the house of the high priest when I ripped off his beard and his face was just a bloodied piece. He saw how they spit on him and the spit would run down on him. He saw himself being taken to Pontius Pilate. He saw himself being stripped naked, tied to whipping post. He saw 39 lashes. He could see his body just wreathed in pain. He saw himself walking with a crossbeam to Calvary, stumbling, falling. A man had to pick up his cross. He saw him being dragged up to Golgotha, lay down, big nails like railroad nails, nailed through his hand palms, and then his feet crossed, and through his ankles. He saw that. He saw him hanging on the cross. He saw God judging him. He saw all the sins of the world from Adam and Eve to the last one living being put on him. And he saw the wrath of God hitting him so hard, and he said, my God, why are you forsaken me? He saw that. He saw the devil. And the devil said, you don't have to go through that. Bow your knees one time. Worship me. And I'll give it all back to you. There was a temptation. Verse 8, and Jesus answered and said to him, get you behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Amen. Devil, going to give him one more time. And he brought him to Jerusalem, sent him on a pinnacle at the temple, and said to him, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down from hence. And now the devil quotes scriptures, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. That's scripture. Correct. What was the temptation? Jesus was going to start his ministry. What a greater stunt than being on the pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem and simply jumping off without a parachute. And all people see him coming down, ooh, like this, and just bounce off the ground and said, hi, folks, I'm the Messiah. Just like Superman. But Jesus answered, said to him, it is said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And when the devil had ended all temptation, he departed from him for a season. These were 40 days of suffering. That's how Jesus started his ministry. And in verse 14, we read this. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out the fame of him throughout all the region round about. Now Jesus came back to Galilee. He had now, as a man, been baptized in water. As a man God, he had been tempted by Satan. He had been filled with the Holy Spirit. And he decided, I'm going to go to my home church in Nazareth, the synagogue. Because Jesus went to the synagogue every Sabbath. And he was known in the synagogue. And he said, I'm going to start my ministry here. If you read this, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. There went out the fame of him through all the region about. And he taught in the synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. As his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he'd opened the book, he found a place where it's written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering in sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. This was from the book of Isaiah, chapter 61. And this was a messianic prophecy. Now I want you to see this with your mind. I want you to go with me to Galilee, to that synagogue. Here's all the people now that had grown up with Jesus. The adults, the young people, and so they all sitting there. Here comes Jesus now. And they've seen Jesus all these years in the synagogue. He gets a scroll. He opens it up to Isaiah. He reads the messianic prophecy. And then he closed the book. He gave it again to the minister. And he sat down. And the eyes of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. He sat down. Everybody now watching him. And then he started talking. This day is a scripture fulfilled in your ears. He said, neighbors, friends, this scripture that was written some 700 years prior has not been fulfilled. I fulfilled it. I'm the Messiah. And all bear witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? They said, that's Joseph's son. Jesus, the carpenter. And Jesus said to them, you will surely say to me this proverb, physician, heal yourself. Whatever you have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country. And he said, verily I said to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you the truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine throughout all the land. But unto none of them were Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, the city of Sidon, and the woman that was a widow. Many lepers were in Israel at that time of Elisha, the prophet. None of them were cleansed save Naam of the Syrian. And all day in the synagogue, when they heard these things, they were filled with wrath. Imagine this now. Jesus, family, friends, neighbors, town people, suddenly now they turned from being friendly. They stood up, their faces contorted. And they rose up, thrust him out of the city. Jesus manhandled, they put him up, shoved him, threw him out of the synagogue, led to the brow of the hill where the city was built, that he might cast him down headlong. They would have killed him right on the spot. So much for France. But he, passing through in the midst of them, went his way. Supernaturally, he blinded them, walked through that crowd, and left. How many of those people never later accepted Jesus as the Messiah? We don't know. Probably not. Can you imagine these people at the great white throne judgment? Can you imagine them in hell saying, well, were we stupid? Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, we threw him out. We tried to kill him. He was trying to save us. They're beating themselves up. But you see, man is blinded by demonic forces. I'm not going to go through the selection of the apostles today. My time is pretty well gone. But I want to spend time on this. So, how can I summarize this? What do I want you to take home with you today? I want you to think about that Jesus was both man and God at the same time. When he started his ministry, he could not start it as God per se and just line everything up. He had to do like you and I. Like when you witness to somebody, some people are going to accept your witness. Some people are going to spit on you, tell you, get the hell out of here. I don't want to hear it. There's going to be all kind of things. Jesus has suffered and gone through all things that you and I have suffered and are suffering. But he was successful because he knew who he was. If you know that you are saved, that your name is written in the book of life, you know that you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, you know that God is your Father, Jesus your brother and Savior, no one can shake you. You know that you know. That's how you win. That's how you make it in this life. You quote scriptures when you're tempted. When people try to have you to sin, you say, no, you shall not steal, Ten Commandments. You shall not commit adultery, Ten Commandments. Just quote the different scriptures. And I like what I almost said, Pastor Henry. In one way, Henry is a pastor, but he doesn't want to have the title, so we call him Brother Henry. But he's a good preacher. He's preaching good every Sunday here. But like he said this, I obey God's commandments to protect my anointing. We obey God's commandments not to be saved, but because we are saved. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Who is a young man that marries a woman, and then they get home, and the man tells his new wife, he says, look, honey, I got some girlfriends. I still like them. I give you 6 days a week. But one day a week, I'm going to go out and have lunch and dinner with my old girlfriend, go dancing a little bit. I'm not going to have any sex with them. I'm just going to go out with them, you know, spend time for all days. Do you think that your wife is going to say, oh, that's nice. Have a good time. She's going to say, it's either me or them. You better stay true to me. And I haven't found any man that says, oh, my wife can go out and have a good time with other men. No, we demand fidelity. Now, Jesus is a groom. We are the bride. Don't commit spiritual adultery. Don't go out dancing with the devil. Don't go and kiss the demons. That's why we should obey the Lord. So I want you to be encouraged today that just like Jesus was tempted like we were, He had to start just like we did. He had to rely upon people giving him donations. You ever thought about that? Jesus never labored after he left the shop and went to the ministry. But there were people around him that gave them money. Judas Iscariot was a treasurer. He had a bag. People put money in that bag. That's how Jesus had money to buy food and do things. He lived on donations. He never had a house. After that, he left his home. For 3.5 years, he ministered. And then he sacrificed his body. I'm happy that we have all these tidbits in the New Testament. And you might say, why did Matthew and Mark and Luke and John write everything down in order? They all agree. God used 4 men to bring out different things. Matthew saw things this way, Luke the other way, and so on. But we took them all together. We get a picture who Jesus was, what he said, how he lived, what he ate, and what he taught. So I'm excited about this series. And I pray that you would hear the next one and the next one as we continue this. I'm going to be talking about selecting the apostles next week and go a little bit further. Now, I know that there are people watching me that are not saved. And we find this all the time. You come in by accident, or you find it on YouTube, and you're not saved. And there's been a number of times when people simply had contacted us, and some people just prayed after we were done, and they got saved. And there's someone right now watching, and you say, you know, I never heard it like this before about Jesus. I want to be saved. Here's what you do, friend. Ask God right now to forgive your sins. Confess that you're a sinner. Confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross for you, rose on the 3rd day. He paid for your sins. And then said, Jesus, come on into my life. Come on in. Save me. Wash me with the blood. And give me eternal life. And you will. You can pray that prayer right now. Now, when we finish here, you're going to find the screen will change. You will see 3 crosses. You will hear a very nice voice, Pastor Charles Terrell. And he will say, my friend. And he will say, he will take us on scriptures. He will lead in a prayer. And for about 8 minutes, he will solidify what I share with you. You listen to him. You pray with him, and you will be saved today and have eternal life. To those of you who are saved, many of you are walking in victory. You're doing great. Keep on trucking. Just keep on doing what you're doing. But if you're in a backsliding condition, if you have deviated, you fell into sin, or something happened, remember this. God always forgives. God convicts. Satan gives accusation. He's accusing. And the beautiful thing is this. None of us are sinless. Every day we do something we shouldn't do. But we ask God for forgiveness. And we are forgiven. So if that's your problem, turn today and say, God, forgive me. I want to come back. Restore me again. And he will. And you will start over and live a victorious life in Christ. If you need help, call us, write us. We are here. The staff will answer the phone. We call people back. We answer our emails. And if you write to us, we do answer all letters coming in. We don't toss it. So, the ball's in your court. I offer it to you. And I pray that you walk away with Jesus today. Now, Thomas Burns, who usually closes in prayer, is this week in Southern California. Someone in his family had a graduation, and he and his wife drove down to Southern California. He's not here today. But we're going to have another staff member to close in prayer today. Her name is Carol Weldon. She's been with us now for about a year. She's right here as a staff member. And so, Carol, you come right now and you close in prayer.
My Heavenly Father, how I thank you for this message today about your life. I want to be able to give my life, the rest of my days, to you. And I pray that as this message goes out, that each person that is listening, wherever they might be, would be willing to, from this day forth, surrender their life to you in service, whether it be a teacher as Joy or as Paula is in Oregon or Michael in Michigan or people all over the world that call into this ministry. May we surrender our lives to you. It is a privilege to be born, and it's a privilege to serve you. And I thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe,
because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send his Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers his love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, he will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, he will do for you. If you call out to him, he will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All he wants for you is to come to him. He will help anybody who calls out to him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, he will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the first part in the series, The Life of Jesus, and was entitled, Jesus Launches His Ministry. It would have been easy for the Son of God to come to the earth and do everything in the supernatural, but the devil would have objected, and Jesus would have been disqualified from being a sacrifice for sin. As a result, the Son of God was incarnated into a human body, and aside from the sinless blood in His veins, the only supernatural power Jesus had was the Holy Spirit, who was also available to any born-again person. Jesus walked away from carpentry at the age of 30 to begin His earthly ministry. The scribes thought He was possessed by Satan, and His family believed He was mentally deranged and tried to take Him back home. No one believed He was the long-awaited Messiah. Yet Jesus pushed on and was baptized in water by John the Baptist, and God signified the act by speaking from heaven and having the Holy Spirit descend upon Him like a dove. Jesus went from this spiritual high point to enduring 40 horrible days of fasting in the wilderness, while the devil tempted and harassed Him every day. Even the people in Jesus' hometown of Nazareth rejected Him when He declared He was the promised Messiah and tried to kill the incarnated Son of God. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1704. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.